साक्षात् परब्रह्मा तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। अखण्डमण्डलाकारं व्याप्तं येन चराचरं यत्पदं दर्शितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। ॐ भूर्भुवः स्वः तत्सवितुर्वरेण्यं भर्गो देवस्य धीमहि धियो यो नः प्रचोदयात्। डियर फ्रेंड्स, व्हाट वी आर नाउ अबाउट टू डिस्कस is the most glaring problem, disturbing problem, and a problem which has to be solved as quickly as possible to have a happy life and a happy planet. The problem, what I want to put before you, is that there is a complete separation from science and spiritualism. We generally feel that spiritualism talks about running away from life, avoiding responsibilities. We feel that when we enter into the spiritualism, we are away from the society. We go into the jungles, it seems. You have to leave the society. You have to leave everything. But actually, when we say the sages, the rishis, and when I say spiritualism, I am not talking about a label called Hindu religion. I am talking about the mystics, the crusaders in religion, the prophets, those who are able to have an altered state of consciousness where they can predict and understand the future as if it is happening before them. Not in Hindu only. You have it in Buddhism, you have in Christianity. You must have heard about Edgar Cayce. How many of you have heard about Edgar Cayce? Anyone? He is, I think, the greatest Hindu sage who gave a practical demonstration of altered consciousness. Practical demonstration. When I say practical demonstration, I mean it is useful. Use it and get improvement and happiness because of it. That is what I mean by practical things. So all the sages and mystics, the prophets, the astrologers, many of you must have heard about the astrologer. What is he? Anyone? Nostradamus. He is in 1555, and he could predict about the formation of America, he could predict the formation of India and the separation of India and again it becoming united. And all that when he was not aware that there is a country called India. Why I am telling you is that spiritualism is a more extended consciousness, a greater awareness. It almost leads you to all knowledge. And we feel as if it cuts down even the present day knowledge. So this has to be first corrected. Spiritualism is a much higher level of knowledge, understanding than where we are now concentrating in the so-called faculties of science and technology. Much higher and wider. So this is what I want to convey first. The difference of our, I'm talking about the general common man's understanding. I'm not talking about what really those who know about it. Generally we feel that you have to go into spirituality only when you retire, when you are not cared by your own children. In India, what we call, they go to the old ashrams. Huh? And then they think about spiritualism. But what I tell to them, and I will prove now itself on a very, very scientific basis, that spiritualism is guaranteed to give you whatever you want. It is a guarantee. But when you want to get whatever you want, you have to pay for it. You are not supposed to beg for it. That is what we have to understand. If you want a small toy, your father can give. Or anybody can give. Not only your father, or anyone who seems he takes. That poor child, he's weeping, he wants a small toy. But if you want a car, then you have to deserve for it. So the spiritualism is a guarantee that you will get whatever you want. What in India, in the Sanskrit language, we call it as kalpavruksha. Many people say it is a tree. I am not saying it is a tree. It is a tree of imagination. Kalpa, kalpana, means imagination. Imagination means visualization. Or you can call it as image making. So if you know how to make an image, you are sure that it will happen. Let me again repeat, I am giving you the fundamental formula of success in daily life also, or whatever you want. And that is where this education system, which has been developed from my Param Pujya Gurudev, you can show his figure, the last slide. It is better we start in the reverse order. The last slide. He was the man who was thinking what to give to the world about this concept of spiritualism. And then he decided that now spiritualism, the name must go. And now he renamed it as the laws of life. The laws which control our life is spiritualism. And in Sanskrit, we call it Gayatri. Laws of life, Gayan, Trayati iti Gayatri. That is the definition of Gayatri. Gayan means life. Trayati protects is Gayatri. So Param Pujya Gurudev, he changed the name of spiritualism because it has been completely misunderstood and nobody knows actually what it means. And now when we say Gayatri, and when I say Gayatri, don't take it as a Hindu name. It is a formula. Formula for what? Gayan Trayati iti Gayatri. That which protects life. Other figures also. Just a fast moment. So there is a university there, a recognized university from the government, and two German universities and one Japan university has linked with it. And then there is a scientific research center, which is known as the Brahmavacharya Research Center, where the five levels of scientific research, I will discuss them, is being conducted there. And anyone who is interested to know more about it, you please note down those websites. The previous one for the university, that is for the university, and next, for the Scientific Research Center, next. And then we have a regular magazine. So that's all about my guru's work. And now we come down to the first slide. First slide, all right. Now I am able to convey to you that what I am talking is not a religion. I am talking to you a way of life, the laws of life, the rules of life, and you just can't avoid it. And that is where science comes in. Because in science, if you know the laws of electricity, you utilize it. And all the magics we are seeing now are nothing but utilization of the laws of electricity in different planes of matter. Similarly, when you utilize the laws of gravitation, you have the satellite, you can cross over and go to other planets. And now, when this science, which is trying to understand the various laws, the laws of electricity, the laws of sound, the laws of magnetism, the laws of different subjects and topics, and the laws of interaction of matter with matter, that is chemistry. And if you want to study the various laws, we go to the physics. We read about sound, light, electricity, etc. in physics. But this science, which is really fantastic in its achievement, very momentous and very great, and it has lifted humanity in 50 years, what humanity couldn't achieve in the last crores of years. You please remember this statement, because I want to utilize it for understanding the laws of life. The same thing, the speed up. What in the last 50 years we could do in science, in material science, you could never imagine. If you were, suppose, 50 years back, could you imagine these mobile phones? Your ability to communicate anywhere in the world? But now you have become all pervasive. No doubt about it. Your consciousness, your ability to talk with anyone is all pervasive. But all this fast scientific growth has created its own problems. The factories developed in the name of industrialization, the whole world is full of air and water pollution. Is it not? Any explanation for that? You accept it? So, I'm not saying that developing a factory or industrialization is wrong. What is wrong is not properly planning the pollution removal. So that problem is now almost worldwide. The nuclear energy, this many of us are not aware of, the nuclear radiation pollution. The nuclear energy has created an atmosphere by its radiations that even in the Third World War may not happen. The coming generation may take birth with disability. Many of our problems, especially to children, especially when I came to America and I was talking with our family friends, they said even in the school level also, they are diabetic and obese. This is because of some radiations. We will talk it later. And if I don't talk about it, you please press me and ask me about these three diseases: the diabetes, the blood pressure and heart problems, and cancer. Yes? Not able to hear? It is okay now? I should not move. I should become stable. Okay. I should become the nucleus, huh? Because I am talking about the nuclear energy, you see, how it already handicapped me. So the nuclear energy has created, it's okay now, nah? Whenever you find any disturbance, please stop me and correct it. I am talking about the audio problem, because I have come to make you to hear me. But that is also an easy way to escape. Huh? If you don't want to hear, you just tell me, I will mute that side. The nuclear energy has created an atmosphere by its radiations that even in the Third War, even if the Third World War may not happen, the coming generations may take birth with a disability. And do you now find one interesting factor? as those who are working in electronics. I'm not talking about only software. Childbirth is decreasing. If you don't know, you remember it. The more people are working with electrical apparatus and electricity in the home, childbirth rate is automatically decreasing. You can just make a note of it. Fertility, or what we say, the capacity to produce child, is decreasing because of the radiations. We don't know how to protect ourselves from those radiations, and many few people are able to connect this health problem, where we are not able to get children, and exposure to various radiations. Then overuse of energies has increased global warming, because of which much of the land may lose its fertility and we may lose the land also. Because of the global warming, if the ice melts and the level of the sun increases, not sun, sea, increases, naturally those who are in the coastal areas, the scientists are saying that there is a probability of many, many, many countries we may lose because of the global warming. Next. When the protection of ozone layer of Earth is torn, the cosmic rays destroy the treasures of Earth. Self-evident. The chemical manures and pesticides are transforming the fertile land as a source of poison. This is a really great problem. You have to use manures to increase your production. And now it has been confirmed that when you use more and more chemical manures, we are losing the fertility of the land. And the pesticides, especially DDT and others, what is happening? It goes into the mother's milk because of the food she eats, and it goes to the children, and then a vicious cycle starts. So, to use it or not, a question mark. Mining of minerals, metals and oils is happening in such a fast rate that soon they will be exhausted. We are talking about now the petrol problem. And then we are mining so much of the various metals that very sure the coals, the various metals, they will be exhausted. If not now, after 30 years. If not now, after 30 years, after 100 years. Then what? Then whatever science and technology development is going and lead you where? Next. The increasing noises. This is the most important thing. The increasing noises in all fields seem to make their sound pollution, disturbing the balance of human mind. This is the most important thing, which we always miss it, that sound has the ability to disturb you to a very great extent. But because we are able to bear it, that doesn't mean that you can bear it to whatever extent it increases. And if you are a bit aware, you must have already found that in many places the sound pollution is almost unbearable. We bear it because you have no alternative. But the Gayatri has a direct, easy method to avoid noise pollution. The only goal of education nowadays is to earn livelihood. What we read and what we study is not to know the subject, to understand the subject. We want to read it because by reading it, we can earn money. And Parampuja Gurudev used to give me a very peculiar example. At that time I couldn't understand it. But now when trying to express this to my friends, Parampuja Gurudev says you are reading engineering. That means until intermediate you have to read, like all others. After that, I'm talking about the rules of India, I don't know the rules of here, but I think it must be similar, if not the names may be different. So when you study the intermediate level, then you prepare yourself specially for to become an engineering. You have to write a particular type of examination, and if you want to become a doctor, you have to write a special type of examination. And then you have to prove that you are fit to read that particular course. Then, of course, you join the engineering course, you read for 5 years, and medicine for 5 years, he becomes a doctor. And now, Parampuja Gurudev used to tell me that suppose he becomes an engineer and he doesn't give his knowledge to society, what will he earn? He says, I have read engineering, so you should give me money or whatever you want. When do you get it? When that knowledge which you have trained yourself with a great time, labor and putting some money, not some money, much money. You become an engineer and immediately after becoming an engineer or a doctor or any other profession. I am not only talking about these two fields, I am talking of all, whether you are a physicist or a chemist. Whatever you are, you have to give it to the society. In spiritualism, unfortunately, this aspect is gone. That is where spiritualism, when you don't become an engineer and practice it for society, when you don't practice your medical knowledge for the help of society, after 4 or 5 years, what happens? You forget the subject. So what happened for spiritualism, and again let me remember, when I say that word spiritualism, I always mean the laws of life. How to live. So, that is over. Main goal of the only goal of education is to earn livelihood, and the main goal of developing humility is completely gone. What exactly the purpose of education is to know that you know so little. I think it is Shakespeare who said, one who knows that he knows not is a wise man. One who knows that he knows not is a wise man. And Newton used to tell that if the knowledge is a sea, what little laws I have gathered is nothing but small pebbles from the seashore. The humility. When you know the knowledge, suddenly you will find that you don't know nothing. There is so much to be grow. Increase in taste in foodstuffs is creating many diseases. Now, this is a solution for many of the diseases. But this statement doesn't mean that you don't relish what you eat. But be choosy. And in spiritualism, there is a mandate that mind is formed from the food we eat. Mind is formed by the food we eat. What we call in Hindi as jaisa khaye ann, vaise banega man. So your mind is formed by what you eat. In Upanishads also it is very clear cut mentioned that your food is making your mind, and are we aware that is what is happening when we are eating all this stuff? If you know what to eat, when to eat and how to eat, you can change your mind by just by eating. That is the only sadhana required. In India, when P.V. Narasimha Rao was the Prime Minister, how many of you know about him? P.V. Narasimha Rao? Whether you don't know him also, it doesn't matter. He is the Prime Minister of India at that time. So one day, his cook disclosed the way he eats. In the morning he drinks this, after 2 hours he drinks that, after 3 hours he eats like this. These are the foods that he eats. Do you know what happened? He was dismissed. He said it should not be revealed, because if you know what to give, you can change the mind. And don't you think this knowledge will help you in many of your family relationships with friends and others? We have forgotten about it. And Gayatri Mantra. And what is Gayatri Mantra? Don't talk about it as a mantra. As a formula of how to develop and apply the rules of living. That is what I want you to always remember. And whenever we talk, And any spiritualism, you remember any religion, this is the basis of all religions, is how to live, how to breathe. And many people ask me, on one side you are telling how to live, and on the other side you are talking how to breathe. What is the relation between these two? In zoology, the rate of breathing and the longevity of the animal is directly linked. Many of you can have it in the websites. The faster your breath, like the dogs and rabbits, it is about 35 breaths per second, per minute. Their longevity is about 30 years or 40 years. And the tortoise and elephant, they breathe about 4 breaths per minute. They live for 500 years. You are able to understand the relationship between breathing and living? What does this give you? It says that if you want to live long, it is not medicines you want, it is not the vitamins and minerals and other types of foodstuffs, but it is only if you know how to breathe at a slower rate, automatically your longevity increases. And that is why whenever we practice this pranayama and others, many people have told that their longevity has increased. Especially I heard about it in Kashi. There are so many yogis, and in, you know, Kashi? Varanasi, it is almost like the spiritual nucleus of India. There are a lot of people who come to die there, because if they die in Kashi, they feel that they will get liberation and this and that. And even Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa confirmed it, that yes, it is right. But I am not talking about that type of longevity, I am talking about the physical longevity. I have seen people who come there to die. At the age of 80 or so, they have decided, yes, now we are going to die, and now they come to Kashi. And there, because of the steps they have to every day go up and down to bathe in the Ganges, automatically the pranayama happens and the longevity increases. So, increase in taste in foodstuffs is creating many diseases, and if you know what to eat and how to eat, the reverse can be done. Next. Sexual orientation is increased and the vitality in the human being is completely sucked away. The most important aspect of spiritualism is it talks about vitality. Vitality means your power to live. That is vitality. And now the way the social and especially the cinematic and other things are developing, this aspect is completely forgotten about it. We don't know how to develop your source of vitality. I'm not talking about the sex relationships. It is completely misunderstood. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your ability to increase the level of your vitality. That is the real sexual orientation, or what I call in Sanskrit as brahmacharya. Brahmacharya means, charya means action or movement. Brahma means cosmic. So actually brahmacharya is nothing to do with the physical aspects. If you can go into the cosmic aspect, the divine aspect, the natural physical reaction automatically happens. Intellect has diversified with character, cordial behavior, civilized approach to life, and an intensity to overcome obstacles and get results. I want to underline the last one, an intensity to overcome obstacles and get results. Those who have read well, those who seem to be intelligent, those where we want to those people and ask some suggestions. Majority of those places I always found that they always show your problems. If you want to do this, you will be obstructed in this way, you will be obstructed in that way, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't master it. So actually, what is happening in the development of intellect, we are not telling the students who are developing the intellect that they have an ability to smash all obstacles. And that science does. That is where science is so successful because I always give a oft-repeated experiment. Plane. Since about past 300 years, many people wanted to develop a plan, a technology, a technique by which plane can be built. And first physically available proofs that men wanted to build a plane to fly in the air was that of Leonardo da Vinci. In his diaries, we find the plane diagrams and this and that. But we didn't get a plane until 300 years later, that is in 1902, by Wright brothers. And the first plane was only in the air for 2 minutes. That's all, only for 2 minutes. What is happening? The intensity to overcome obstacles. Am I able to convey what I want to tell you? If a group of people, not the whole humanity, a Leonardo da Vinci, a Wright brothers, and in between them a few people, maybe a handful, I don't think it will be more than 20 people, who concentrated their intensity of thinking to develop a machine which can fly in the air, and humanity got it with all obstacles. That is what we should develop, the intensity. But all these scientific intensities, do you ever find that they have fought with the people? Did they fight with anybody? You need not fight with anybody. That is what I am trying to express to you. When the obstacle is there, you need not fight with anybody. You have to fight with yourself, your ability. That is what science does. And when it does it continuously for sufficient time, they get the result. That is again what we have to concentrate, that when we are giving this knowledge, are we able to convey to the students that they have to fight with their own minds? And they should not feel that because there is going to be obstacle, you stop it now itself. And my grandfather used to tell me a small incident in his life. He was a superintendent of police in that era where, before independence. So his wife, my grandfather, grandmother, asked a constable to bring some curry, vegetables. So she should bring potatoes. He asked if the potato is not there. Then he should bring brinjals. If the brinjals are all not there, ladies' fingers, he bolte na bhindi ko. You please forgive me about the names, you know. Because when I say ladies' fingers and you become angry, yeah? I am not saying about the ladies' fingers, I am talking about the vegetable. She said, bring tomatoes, this and that. I said, suppose they are not there. Then he said, what am I to do if nothing is there? Then you need not go. Then he said, I am not going. You got the logic? You always think that if you don't get it, if you don't achieve it, then in the end what happens is you will not try. That is the greatest mistake in our education system. We always tell about the possibility of not being able to achieve. Why don't you give a boost? How to achieve it? And that Gayatri Mantra, we call it as Kamadhenu, a desire-fulfilling cow, the milk. And what do you mean by milk? The food. The best mind-transforming food is milk. And I already told you that your food, milk, makes your mind. And if the mind is properly made, all obstacles are gone. Next. The trees, birds and animals are being massacred with such speed that soon the earth may become completely deserted. That is what is happening in many places. Next, lack of intellect, cruelty, comma, a very low level of thinking process, and a complete assurance of affection is seen in mutual dealings. Not an assurance, a wrong word has been placed. There is no assurance of affection. whenever we deal with people, what happens? Many people tell me, so in an open way you are saying that we don't have an intellect. I said, yes, I can prove it. And if I prove it, then don't be angry with me. If I prove that there is a lack of intellect, and if I prove it and if you accept it, don't be angry with me. Should I tell what I asked, told him? No? Lack of intellect? Should I tell what I told him? But you should not be angry with me. You promise it? Nobody is promising, so forget about it. Huh? Somebody is laughing. What does it mean? I understood you correctly or I understood you wrongly? Okay. The lack of intellect, cruelty? What is cruelty? Do you really think that when you congratulate someone who got a first class, is it from the heart or from the lips? Whenever we have congratulated, be honest. And don't tell me. You decide yourself that when we congratulate somebody's success, okay, you say, very good, many happy, this, that. But in the here, if I have been that, that is a low level of cruelty. And of course, the thinking process, nobody thinks anything. Let us be very, very, very clear that we are not thinking, but we are worrying. Worrying is a process where you are not thinking about a point for solution, but you are worried about this, I am worried about this, I am worried about this. You go on repeating it, and you are worrying, the same thing, thought. But you never think how to solve the problem. And then there is no assurance of affection. You don't worry, I am together with you. Together we will do it. That aspect never comes. Man is going towards group suicides. Lack of friendship, cordial behavior and cooperation is driving human beings to self-centered activities. You remember this word self-centered. I am not talking egoism or ahankara or selfish. He has not even thought to think otherwise. Whenever you think, you always think to me, to me, to me, self-centered. Activities without going together, etc., etc. All these problems are the problems of the modern scientific approach towards life. Next. Now, in science, what spiritualism talks about, science, that is what I am trying to explain. In science, a particular subject is developed when you go to the fundamentals of that subject. If you want to study matter and its interaction, because I am a chemistry professor, I always give the same example. You can put it into your own topics. Until and unless they knew about the atom, no development was there. What is the atom? The smallest particle. The fundamental. So if you want to understand anything in a scientific way, we go to the fundamentals. When we go to the fundamentals, something happens. What happens? What you have termed as the fundamental thing in that particular subject, for example, when I am talking about the chemistry, I am talking about the atom, initially, as per Dalton and others at that time, it was believed that it is indivisible. Atom is, by nature, by character, is indivisible. After a few years, Niels Bohr comes. He says atom is divisible. When I am taking Niels Bohr, I am also talking the group of people. There are many scientists there who has contributed to understand that atom is divisible. And they have divided it into three parts, the neutron, proton and electron. Again, it is called atom, but now it is not an indivisible atom, but it is a divisible atom. Then Einstein and his group came. And they said, we have to question Mark Adam. Probably it is a bundle of energy. What we call the mass energy equivalence. Sometimes the electron and protons behave as if they are waves, energy. Sometimes they behave like particles. Why I am telling this? Fundamentals of spiritualism. That is now I am going to give you the example. And I will prove you that you can get whatever you want from that within coming 10 or 15 minutes. If you understand this, what I am going to explain. You now understand what I am going to tell you? I am going to the fundamentals of spiritualism. That means I am going to the fundamentals of life. What is the fundamental action in our bodies, whether animal or human? What is the most fundamental habit which every body has? Anyone? Breathing. Breathing. Shwasa. No. Without breathing, they can't eat also. The most fundamental. If the breathing is there, it's okay. If the breathing is not there, everything is gone. And he's not allowed to stay at home also. If the breathing is gone, gone. So the spiritualism is an approach towards understanding how to breathe. I have already told you, if the rate of breathing is changed, your longevity increases. That it is a confirmed fact. And the yogis, when I say yogis, I mean the scientists in this field of breathing, they say that if you have 21,600 breaths in 24 hours, you are sure to live for 100 years. They give a guarantee. And when you accept that if you breathe 4 breaths per minute and your longevity is 500, and if you accept that your rate of breathing increases, and if it is 35 per minute, your longevity goes to 30 and 35. So if you can breathe at a rate of 21,600 breaths per 24 hours, per minute it comes between 16 and 18 breaths per minute, your longevity is certainly 100 years. This is the first thing as a scientific basis you have to accept. But do you think I have given a scientific aspect or a theoretical aspect? You have the proof of the animals whose breathing rate is fast, their longevity is less. So if you increase your breath rate, your longevity increases. And now, the second aspect of our life is what is known as, you see the next two slides first. You just hear this, I will explain this. The parapsychologists and psychologists, they have told that there are 4 types of waves come from our brain. I will go back to the previous slide, but I am making a foundation to explain this, so that when I am describing it, you remember these things. Generally, in a wakeful state, our brain waves are in such a way that your decision is to go in for the action or to run away from the action. If you are able to understand and you know that you can do it, you go ahead. And suppose you feel I am not able to do it, what will you do? You will avoid it. That is what many of the psychologists say it as the fight and flight response. That is our general way of thinking. Fight, flight. We fight when we are able to understand by our wakeful consciousness, yes, we can face it. We fight. If not alone, together with a group. And suppose we feel that we can't do it, we try to avoid it. We flight. And now the alpha state, this is also a wave pattern which comes from the brain. There are many psychologists and parapsychologist books and textbooks in psychology where you get a reference and detailed explanation of it. Alpha brain waves, we use it in 3 ways. I am lost in daydreaming. I am wasting my time in daydreaming. Or in fantasizing. Or in visualization. You try to understand these three. This is the basis of the three steps of Gayatri Mantra, the formula. Many of our dreams, we just never feel as if we have it and feel it. Just a dream, just a thought. Fantasizing, as if you have become that and enjoying it. But still it is only a mental imaginational thinking. But suppose you visualize it. And what do you mean by visualization? If you act as if you have become that. You understand, this is the secret. And this is the formula I was telling you about, that you get whatever you want. Whatever you want, you will get it if you understand this alpha wave pattern. But now, when we call it the beta wave and alpha wave, now it becomes very confusing. What in yogis call it, the beta wave pattern is known as mind, mana. The alpha wave pattern is called buddhi. Now for those who know these words, I think it is easier to understand than thinking about the beta and alpha waves, but it means one and the same thing. Your desires, a lot of desires. After that, you visualize. So many people ask me, you say that if you visualize as if, you will get it. How am I to accept it? Suppose, when you were learning driving, because here in India I used to say you don't know driving and how did you learn? Because here I know everyone drives. Except me, I think all of you know how to drive. So I am just changing the question. When you didn't know driving, how did you learn it? By sitting beside a driver or in the seat of the driver? All of you sit beside the driver and learned? No? Then what did you do? Did you know driving when you sat there? Then why did you sit there? You visualized that you are going to learn driving. As if the driver does, you do it. And what happens? You become the driver. Now you understand what is visualization. So if you can visualize, the main stress in that particular alpha wave pattern or buddhi is not what you know, but you have to behave as if what you want to know. You got the difference? That is visualization. And once you have it, if you can visualize yourself and behave as if and you become a driver, why not whatever you want? But what we miss it? We want to become something, but we don't behave like that. We have behaved exactly the opposite. So the opposite happens. So this is the most important thing in Gayatri. When I am talking about Gayatri, I am talking about the breathing process. And when I am talking about the breathing process, I am also talking about the way of thinking. Now, other slide, theta and delta. The theta is a state of mind which is in deep meditation. And delta brainwave is a restorative stage of deep sleep, strong empathy. Healers, counselors, helping professionals all practice this delta wave pattern. In Sanskrit and in the Hindu language, we call it theta as ahankara and delta as chitta. Mano, buddhi, chitta, ahankara. These four levels of consciousness is the levels of knowledge. And in Sanskrit we call knowledge as Vedas. So these are the four Vedas. And Gayatri Mantra, Param Puja Gurudev says, as the mother of the Vedas, Vedamata. Now come back to three. I just wanted you to remember this so that when I am discussing it, you will understand I am talking about these three levels. The importance of life, we have it. Especially the human beings have a very special role. Even though many of the Plato or I don't remember who said man is a social animal. Mano ek samajik jantu hai. Social animal. I don't remember. Who is he? It's okay. Just what I want you to know is, I am not telling, it's some great man is telling. Then what is the difference between the other animals and human being? Can you tell me what is the difference? Except, of course, an objection is there for monkeys and apes and the way we walk. Majority of the animals have a horizontal backbone. But humans, upright backbone. Now, when we talk about the importance of life, the fundamental difference of a human being and an animal, and when I say animal, spiritualists talk about 4 points of animal nature. He says it is necessary to human beings also, because they are also animals, but a developed animals. Their backbone becoming 90 degrees. And many times I used to say why 90 degrees is called the right angle, R-I-G-H-T angle. Because it is right. From animal state, 90 degrees, a right angle. So this right-angled change from the animal to a well-developed animal or the most supreme animal or the king of the animals, they have 4 in common. Ahara, Nidra, Bhaya, Maidhunanja. The sages say that food is common to animals and man. Nidra, sleep, common to animals and man. Fear, common. And Maidhuna, self-development. These are common to human beings also and to all animals. Then what is the difference from this right-angled backbone is dharma, religion. And unfortunately, when we talk about religion, dharma, we have a feeling that it is something beyond this life. But when you say dharma, what literally it means is properties. Rasayanika dharma, bhautika dharma. Dharma means properties, either physical properties or chemical properties. So the importance of life is, if you understand the properties of the physical life, and if you understand the properties of the subtle life or the vital life, and if you can understand the properties of the mind, and beyond mind there is another consciousness which we call divine consciousness, or what we call the cosmic consciousness. So when the human being wants to know the properties of the physical life, the subtle life or the mind, and the cosmic life, the three levels, that is where the Gayatri Three Charanas comes. There are 3 formulas very clearly given in Gayatri. In the physical life, it is the sun who is most dominant. Wherever you want to find life, even the scientists, when they explore the various planets, if they find water is there, of course the sunlight is there on planets. So the water is there, the life is there. So to understand life, there are 2 basic powers which you have to utilize. The energy of the sun and the energy of water. And on planet Earth, the sunlight is so exactly placed where you get so many seasons. In other planets, either they are very close to the sun or very far away to the sun, distance, the planets. So if they are far away, cool, no life is possible there. If it is nearer to the sun, burning. The planet Earth is so placed that you have the cycle of seasons because of the huge reservoir of water, sea. Only on planet Earth you have such a huge reservoir of water. And of course the sun is there, the life is there. Tat Savitaru Varenyam, that is the formula it says in Gayatri Mantra, that the entire life is based on sunlight. And do you think it is scientific or spiritual, this statement? The entire life is based on the existence of solar light. What is your opinion? You call it, is it a spiritual belief? It is not a fact. You just believe it or you say it is a fact? And if you say it is a fact, it is a science. So that is where the jump of these classes from something unwanted is now going to becoming the source of power and strength and vitality to make earth a heaven. So the first point, utilize sunlight and water. We are utilizing it, but we are not utilizing it as according to the properties of sunlight and water. We will discuss it later. I just can't discuss it in such a class, those things. We need something practical. And at about 5 minutes to eight, I will stop it. Don't worry about the time. If you are conscious of the time, I am also conscious of the time. And after that, for 10 minutes, I will give you a practical so that you can do it practically. And if you continue it, you will yourself understand the practical scientific aspects of what I am telling. Not what I am telling, what Param Pooja Gurudev has told me. When we say Newton's laws, I am not telling Newton laws, but I am telling what Newton told. So I am telling what Param Pooja Gurudev has told. Now, the dream state. Now again and again, let me tell you, if you understand this point of my lecture, you will get what you want. I gave you the example. If you dream of becoming a driver and behave as if, you become a driver. If you want to dream to become an engineer, and in the classes, what do? You try to behave as if you are an engineer, is it not? You are trained. You become an engineer. You become a doctor. So why can't you become a master of your life? But you should know how to behave. And there you get the life of a Christ or a Mohammed or the avatars or any great realized soul's life is our goal. How to imitate him. So about the dream state, again and again tell you, visualization is most important. That is what we call a meditation of your goal. You want something? You behave that you are sitting and praying to the Gayatri Mantra and she is giving you that. And don't beg it. When you want it, when you get up out of the meditation, you behave as if you have it. And you need not behave as if in the public, you behave in that room. That is where the time of meditation is given, you do for half an hour. Is not just sit and sleep. You want something, is it not? Suppose you want to own a plane. I don't know what you want, but suppose you want to own a plane and you aeroplane and you want to drive it yourself. Then how do you meditate? You sit. You go into the alpha state. Remember it. The beta waves will not help. The alpha waves will have to help. And then you visualize you have a plane. And then what should you do? Those 15 minutes, you should imagine that I am entering into the plane, I am coming out of the plane, and I am taking so many friends with me. And so many friends are telling, what a beautiful plane you have. I'm able to convey what you are supposed to think. That is the process of real meditation. And when you do all these things, your life becomes divine. It is no more an animal life. It becomes a divine life. And many people ask me, divine life, what do you mean about some God is chilling in the seventh heaven or is in the Swarga? No, no, we are not talking about that God. Divine means, for example, you know the laws of electricity. And there is someone who doesn't know the laws of electricity. Who can get something from electricity? One who knows the laws of electricity or one who doesn't know the laws of electricity? Is it not? One who knows the laws of electricity can get what he wants. Then what happens? The electricity becomes a devata. Devata in Hindi means one who gives. Dene wala devata. So devata kaun? Divine kaun? Who is divine? One who gives. And who gives? That energy whose laws of application you know. So that is the divine life. We are being projected. We are being pushed by nature. That is how we are evolved from a mineral to a plant to an animal to a human being. And in so many crores of years it took to evolve. Similarly, we will evolve to the divine state. Again, you remember, divine doesn't mean I am talking about God. I am talking about the laws of nature, natural energy, about which we know how to utilize it. Right? So when we utilize this, we become a divine life. You know the laws of nature. Utilize it for yourself and for others. And now, these two, breathing process. The first advice I want to give you is, you always try to breathe whenever you are conscious in a slow, deep, rhythmic process. That is enough. That is enough. And remember one thing, much of our diabetic and BP reasons are because of the problem here. And here there is a muscle what is known as the diaphragm. The diaphragm moves up and down, and that is why breathing happens. Many people don't know that breathing is because of the movement of the diaphragm. The diaphragm, when it extends, it creates the vacuum. The breath goes in, and then it pushes out. So this movement of the diaphragm, if you are aware of it, much of your problems will be solved, gastric problems. You do that practice, and then you will see how it is deep, slow, with a feeling of awareness first of the diaphragm movement. In 2 or 3 days you do it, you will be aware of the diaphragm moving. We never care about it, that's all. Right? That is what I was telling about the breath. And now what you have to learn is, instead of the flight response, you have to learn the relaxation response. A cardiologist, I'm not sure about his name, Ben Johnson, I think, he has written that book on relaxation response. He said just by this deep, slow relaxation response, all bone problems, nervous problems, diabetes, BP, cancer, all problems, he has given a lot of rest, a list, and he is a cardiologist. MDDM, with his practice on his patients, he has told the deep breathing almost cures all problems. Almost. So that is what I am telling. The relaxation of the diaphragm muscle. This is not relaxed. Do you know, even now you feel it. You are not feeling tense here. I think you are feeling tense here. Don't you think so? Be aware of it. Sometimes we are not aware also of being tense here. So the first practical suggestion I am giving you is slow, deep, completely filled breathing where you feel that the diaphragm is going down. And when the air is coming out, it comes out, and after some time you see that the what we call the navel goes in. Best cure for obesity. best cure. You do it and you will find it. But it takes time, not in one day or 2 days. If you do it for 6 months, you are sure to get a minimum of 4 kgs. In pounds, I think it will be about 10 pounds or so. And once, huh?
8 pounds.
8. No, no, 8. It's okay. Why fight about the pounds? Huh? We will lose it. So this breathing, in the beginning you have to remember it. But once you have practiced, it becomes natural. I have started the practical demonstrations also 5 minutes earlier. I said I will start it at 5 minutes to 8, and I have started at 10 minutes to 8, and I will finish it by 8:15 or so that you can ask any doubts you have. And now this relaxation response, pranayama, you understand about the breathing process. I have given you a very small basic pranayama. There are more than 112 pranayamas. And you remember that a human body can have only the maximum limit of variety of pranayamas, 112. You don't have a 113th pranayama. Pranayama means breathing process. This you get the reference in Vijnana Bhairava Tantra, a textbook from Buddha's level. And now about the asanas, you remember the technique of visualization in nature. Asanas are visualization technique from nature. Now, asanas means a seat. What in Sanskrit or Hindi, when the word asana, we mean a seat. And now, you have a seat in your office, depending upon your level of knowledge, is it not? A watchman's seat, a principal's seat, a supervisor's seat, a manager's seat, a clerk's seat. He need not sit in that seat. But we say he is a clerk. What does it mean? He stays in the clerk's seat. When you say he is a principal, he may be sitting everywhere, but he is a principal. Could I convey what I want to tell you? A seat, a asana, is not the way in which you sit. It is the knowledge permission. You have a authority to sit in that asana. Am I clear? So just by practicing an asana, you get that authority, as I said about the visualization aspect. If you practice as if, you get it, is it not? So when you do those practices, the most important practice is what is known as the cross-legged position, especially one above the other, what is known as the lotus pose or the Padmasana pose. And if you find it difficult, a cross-legged pose. And even you find it still difficult, you see that while you are sitting in the seat, both the soles are equally spaced and your entire... Can you practice it? I am... Why not practice? I am not talking about cross-legged. I am talking about sitting. How even sitting you get the same result in a chair as you get in the Padmasana pose. So the distance between the legs must be equal and properly placed on the floor. And now, how do you know that you have correctly took? You cannot get up. There is a particular position when you put these feet. Even if you want to get up, you can't get up. Try it. Can anyone find it? For example, this position, I want to get up and I can't get up. Huh? You have to place the leg properly there.
You can't see your feet.
Shall I show? Now, huh? You show it. You do one thing. You put the chair there. Yes. You sit. You try to understand what I am telling. It is the most relaxation response. It will cure all diseases. But not in one day. You have to practice it for at least 10 minutes per day for 6 months. And now please pay attention to me, then see towards here. When you are sit, no, first you understand and then practice it. The legs should be, okay, I will, the voice. You sit in such a way that even if you want to get up from that position, you cannot get up. You got it? That's the pose. That's the pose. You want to get up, you can't get up. Until and unless you move your feet again to different angle. And don't say that you will be tied down to the seat. All of you got it? But, it's okay. No, what I do is... And now you have to become my teacher now. She understood the point. Got it? It is very simple. There is nothing difficult in there. If you move... Because in asana, they say sthira. Sthira means immobile. So if you move forward and backward, it is not an asana. Okay, now I am coming to the subject.
Heels are touching?
They should touch the earth. So, completely the leg must be on this. But no pressure. And when you want to get up, you should not move forward. If you move forward, the position is gone. Sthiratva is gone. You can't get up, impossible. And that is why the science, it is a science of how to utilize the natural forces. What is the natural force we are using? The gravity and the sun rays and other rays, the magnetic rays and the electronic rays of the various TV channels. They are also flowing in this room. So everything, you become immobile. And do you know? When there is a typhoon also, there is a center of steadiness, a center of peace. And throughout, a great turmoil is happening, but that is center, what is known as the eye of the... Right?
Yes.
So this is the eye where whatever may be the turmoil all around you, because the disease is nothing but a turmoil of your, what we call the energies of digestion and this and that. And in this pose... And especially when you breathe like that, as I told you. And you don't move like this. I'm just telling you so that you should be aware that it is going in. Do it for 5 minutes. That is enough. More than enough. Don't go for how many hours you have done. What is most important is regularity. The regularity and following the same time. That is the asana and pranayama. I have given you a simple things you think, but remember Einstein. After he got his Nobel Prize, I think he was giving the lecture in Princeton University, I am not very sure. So the postgraduate MSc physics student said, we also want to do a great research in something grand as we have discovered, we will have to discover. He said, okay, try it. Then they asked him, how are we to know that what we have discovered is something very great? He said that if it is simple, it is great. And unfortunately, when it is simple, we neglect it. Don't neglect it. What I am giving you are not a simple techniques, but a grand techniques which seem to be simple. But the technique is making you immobile, steady, a relaxation response. And these details, if you want to know, Jinna Sirminara is a psychologist and a doctor. She wrote many books about these things. Any book that she has written, you read it, you will get a lot of things. I'm able to show the name, Jinna Sirminara. Now, next, I explained you these things. No, beta mind. Beta is getting all the knowledge from the universe. I think the website and this has now always made you sarvajna, all-knowing. Whatever you want to know, you know. Like that. And you remember, these figures are talking about how the energy flows into the body. It's just an example. The next one, alpha, or the dream state. Okay? Then theta. You feel that something has come from the blue, theta vibrations. For example, many people used to tell me that you talk about all these mano, buddhi, ahankara and chitta. But whether you call it, this theta is ahankara. Alpha is buddhi. Beta is mind. Be clear about it. So many people, this beta is mind, man. Alpha is buddhi, intellect. And theta is ahankara, egoism. I am not talking about selfish egoism. But I am that I am. A feeling that I am because I am. That feeling is theta. And many people say that I don't feel it. I have never utilized it, that energy. But do you have in your life, when you want to tell the name of your close friend to someone, you want to tell that he is my friend and we are together and a very close friend. And sometimes it happens that we don't remember the name. Such a situation ever happened? Many people have it. And a close friend, and you are forgetting his name. And then, after some time, when you are doing something else, out of the blue you get the name. And you say, yes, I remembered. So that is theta wave. That is what is known as the ahankara. And then, of course, delta is the deep sleep state. But what this deep sleep state, in yoga it is known as samadhi. The deep sleep state is known as samadhi. Next. Now you see this figure. Is it not the head, the hands, the stomach and the legs? Is it not looking like that? That is exactly the four levels of energy work in our body. That is why the cells, the organs by which the organs by which the cells are made are a combination of cells making an organ in this. The upper level, the head, is what is known as the beta or the mind. The beta waves, if you want to go to the scientific aspects of definition. If not, it is the mind. And then the hands and the heart. This is where the love comes. The visualization comes. The ability to think comes. As if you are behaving. The hands and heart are the alpha waves, the intellect, the buddhi. The digestive and sexual organs are the theta waves, that is the egoism, and the lower parts of the body. And then the legs are the delta waves, the roots from which the tree of humanity comes up. So these are the roots. The mind, stuff, chitta. And then this is the ahankara. This is the buddhi. And this is the mind. And naturally all these four are integrated into one. The fifth one. Is it not? These four plus a total consciousness. So this five is known as the five faces of Gayatri. So anyway, what I wanted to convey is, if you can sit and breathe as I have told you, it is the power of life working in you. You need not do anything. It is happening by itself. Wherever you go to India, England or America or anywhere, you are always on the planet Earth. And that planet Earth is making its own journey. And you are a part of it, whether you want it or not. So, you are as if walking in the train where each bogie is connected with each other. You think you are coming from one bogie to another, one bogie to another. Actually, what is happening is you are with the train. So that feeling, you will get it when you sit like that. And when you breathe, you always remember ideas come into you. Breathing is the process of getting ideas. We have forgotten about how breathing and ideas come and emotions come. And just the last few lines, and I'm going to stop, and then you can ask if you want. Emotions are thoughts which make us act. Emotions are those thoughts which make us act. Emotion, that which gives motion. A thought does not give emotion. A emotion gives emotion. Motion means, you understand, I'm talking about the action. And now you are angry. That is an emotion. And how is your breathing? Very slow, peaceful breath when you are angry? Huh? You are laughing? And when you are laughing and happy, how is your breath? Fast and gusto? Slow. So, your ability to act depends on how you breathe. So if you know how to breathe, you become all-knower. You will know everything. You become an omniscient. But not in one day's practice. You always remember it. And then I have given you the... You show the photos and the website relationships. This is the place where it is now being told. All the people are sitting in the cross-legged position. Thousands of people. But you can sit on the chair and do it as I have told. You need not sit in cross-legged. And of course, his literature and books and videos, you will get it from that website. And the university... These five laws of nature, remember one thing is health. The one of the energy which gives you is health. The next is, purifies your personality, that energy. First is health-giving energy, the other is purifying energy of personality. And third is family-bringing personality. And when I say family, we are not talking about the physical families. We are talking about Gayatri family, research family, or a Olympic family. You understand? People having the same goal, that is family. So first is health. Next is personality development. Third is family development. And then you should know what is culture and civilization. The difference between culture and civilization, that is what is known as Sanskriti. And then in the last is to know the yoga. What I have told you, the fundamentals of yoga is breathing and sitting, asanas and pranayama. So these five energies are taught in this university. And those are the buildings of the university. Next. These scientific aspects, I have just introduced you to the science. But there are 20 booklets written by my Guruji. He has written about more than 3,200 books personally, and he has translated all Sanskrit books into English, Hindi. And in his final approach towards this science, he wrote 20 books. And he said, all my literature I have written until now on one side, and these small 20 books are one side. And he said, these 20 books are heavier than that. So if you want to really understand the science behind it, the technology behind it, you read those books. And you will get those books from that www.awgp.org. It is in Hindi and some are in English, and we are trying to get it in English. But the most important thing is not reading but practicing. So if you can now become a family of reading these books, I will be very happy that I have done what I wanted to do. Jai Gurudev. I was a bit fast, I understand, but the way you are reacting, I understand that you are able to understand. Therefore, I was a bit fast. But any questions you want to ask? But let it be a sincere question. Don't ask only to question. Yes?
You told us about asanas and
pranayama.
But you didn't tell us about when to chant Gayatri Mantra.
Ha. You want a small time or a big chunk of time? All of you can join your decision. You want to know the time to do Gayatri Mantra? You understood his question? He said that Gayatri Mantra's chanting is very good because those vibrations of sound will give the solution to the sound pollution. So what Parampuja Gurudev says that for our group where we were, when he was telling the class and we were hearing it, he said, I am giving you a very minimum time to do Gayatri Mantra, only 24 hours a day, not more than that. How? You feel that the sun rays are falling it, even now, because it is the attraction of the sun through which the planets are rotating around it. The revolution of the planets is because of the sun's what we call the attractive forces. And you are a part of it, that is what I was telling. So be aware of it, you don't need to chant it. But if you want to chant it, minimum 5 minutes, maximum 1 hour, to chant it. But to feel that you are under the power of the sun. What 24 is continuously, you got the point? The feeling I am talking. For example, I see this light. But I can feel this light continuously whether I see it or not, is it not? So you should be aware that the sun is there. Because Parampuja Gurudev always used to say that the coming fuel energy and all energies is sun. The earth is almost going extinguished of all types of energies. And only the sun rays will become our future energy source. So could I explain what I wanted to tell? You should be always aware that we are with the sun's vibration. But about chanting it, what he wanted, minimum 5 minutes, maximum 1 hour, not more than that. Am I clear? But do that, huh? I have asked my friends here to put it on the web. You tell about that later.
Can we combine breathing with mantra chanting?
Huh, certainly you can do it. Certainly you can do it. That means once you breathe as you chant the Gayatri Mantra and exhale as you chant the Gayatri Mantra, whatever you find it. But the more important thing is your position and the navel going in. That's more important.
Is it okay to break the whole mantra is made up of 24 letters?
You can break it into four levels. Om Bhurbhasva Tatsavitirvarinyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimai Dhiyayana Prachodiyat. So Om Bhurbhasva, it goes in. Tatsavitirvarinyam, you hold your breath. Bhargo Devasya Dhimai, you exhale. Dhiyayana Prachodiyat, hold it outside. Again, you can continue. You can have your own rhythm. But be careful that the body doesn't change. It doesn't move. That is more important. Where the earth's, what we call the currents and the solar currents, flow very easily if you sit like that. But there are many asanas, more than 84. But in one lecture, this much is enough. Huh? Any more questions? Yes? Gayatri Mantra? Oh, why not? We have 5 minutes. Now, one announcement, because of the time consciousness, if somebody wants to move, and they can move because if they have a work, I will take 5 minutes and finish off this question because the class is over. Now, Om is the first letter. Is it not? And now Om is a combination of three letters. A, what is it? The CDs are available there who want it. Later you can take it and you just put it when you go to sleep. It goes on and the vibration sound, it works even when you are asleep. So anyway, I'm talking about the meaning of it. So Om is a combination of three letters, A, U, Ma. And now you just close your eyes, all of you, and just say A. And now again we chant it, but just 1 minute. You follow the instructions properly. Take a deep breath. Then start Ah, and be aware of your body. Take a deep breath. What part of the body is moving? Anyone? All of you feel it, stomach? And stomach is which vibration, energy vibration? Theta. That is? Ahankara. Got it? So it is so easy to reach those states of consciousness. This moves. And now take your breath and say, ooh. Take your breath and do it. The stomach is going in, the stomach is going up. So it is the lungs and heart that are being influenced. That is the alpha vibrations, the buddhi vibrations. Then, beta vibrations, mind. So, Om is a combination of beta, alpha and theta, or in our language, in the scientific language, it is the mind, intellect, buddhi and ahankara. And these are three planes, bhur, the physical plane, bhuvaha, the emotional dream plane, and swaha, the thought plane. Om, bhur, bhuva, swaha. And this is controlled by Tat Savituru Varenyam. Tat means that, Savituhu means sun, Varenyam means glorious. So all this life, all these three states of consciousness is controlled by the great power of the sun. And what does he do? The power of the sun, Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi. Bhargo means ignorance. Devasya means enlightened. And Dhimahi, you remember it. So whatever enlightenment you get from the Devata, now you understand what is Devata? I am not talking about God. We know the laws of nature, it becomes a Devata. So now we are understanding the laws of nature of sun. So it is removing our ignorance. Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi, our ignorance is being removed. Then what happens? I will work on that. Dhiyo yo naha prachodayat. What I have impressed, what I got impressed in my brain, together, naha means together, we will do it. So a group work. So Om Bhur Bhuvasva, these three levels of consciousness and the physical sleep and dream state, we understand the descent of the solar energy, removing our ignorance, and together we will work for his cause. That's the meaning.